Man sketch. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a running back for Kentucky. Cavassier.
A little Cavassier.
I love it. I love it.
Sketch.
Meadows' old character.
Yeah, that's right.
You got it?
What position does he play?
He's a running back.
Okay. All right, so got a couple of those.
I know you shouldn't take running backs too early in the draft, but
You better use that guy up. And his coach is his head coach is a Youngstown guy, so he's gonna know how to properly use the Cavassier. All right, my pick, and I feel like I have to take this guy because he was the one that inspired this draft. I'm also wearing Jackie O's shirt, which is from Athens, Ohio, which is the home of Ohio University. I think football teams are built up front. You got to have a good, strong line. So I'm going to go with offensive lineman, number 69 from Ohio University, Mr. Parker Titsworth. By the way, from the same hometown as Christina Aguilera, Wexford, Pennsylvania. So let's review our first round. General Booty, Smoke Monday, Cavassier Smoke, and Parker Titsworth. So we're getting off to a hot start here. All right, so round one is over. We're going to round two. Back to you, Brett.
So I think the important part for us too is pronounce it phonetically if you can. It makes it all the more better. I'm lucky. I'm going down in the trenches though, but this was my number two guy on my list. I'm going up north to Boston College. I'm taking Shitta Silla.
I love it. I you know what's funny? When I was doing some research for this draft, I looked up and it said Ohio State's former defensive coordinator. What's his name? The head coach of BC. Jeff Halfley. It said Halfley says Shitta is looking great in August.
That's great.
That's a good pick. All right. So Shitta Silla is number five. Bill, you have the sixth pick.
All right. I'm sticking with the DBs. I'm a firm believer if you're a DB with a cool name. So I'm going with Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati.
Oh, nice.
Saw him play live. This is the guy from our franchise.
Okay. All right. Very nice. So you got some sauce and some smoke. You're grilling up some ribs.
Hey, that's enough lines.
He knows what he needs. He's getting the sauce.
Yeah. I love it. Sauce and it's Gardner.
Yeah.
All right, very good. DB, Cincinnati. All right, Cincinnati. Sauce Gardner might be as high picked as Cincinnati is in the college football playoff poll here too. All right, number seven pick, Greg. You got the seventh pick.
All right. Well, I am going a little unconventional here. I'm gonna do what the Raiders did a number of years ago when they took Sebastian Janikowski, I think, in the first round, right? I'm going to go with the kicker in the second round. I'm going to go with Connor Asselin from Iowa State.
Brett, can we pronounce that?
Ass out. Oh, yeah, I got it phonetically.
This is the one I actually spawned that thought.
I thought you were going to say, no, it's Asselin, idiot.
No, it's clearly ass alley. Clearly. The guy could kick a football through that ass alley. All right, which brings me to my second pick, eighth overall. This was my number two guy on my board. He is a defensive back from Alabama who, as we all know, with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, they got a great they usually have a great stable of names down there. I'm going to go with DeQuincy Kool-Aid McKinstry, defensive back, Alabama.
Got his NIL with Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm trying to get my first round draft pick, Parker Titsworth, a Jackie O's Brewery NIL, too.
Let's make it happen.
Love it. Love it. All right. So we are into our third round. Let's review the second round. Shitta Silla, Sauce Gardner, Connor Assally, and DeQuincy Kool-Aid McKinstry. So we are into our third round, ninth pick. Brett, it is back to you.
I am staying in the trenches. I'm following Bill a little bit here. I'm sticking with the sauce. We're going Dodge Saucer.
I like it.
Offensive lineman, Iowa State.
Lots of sauce in this draft. Can't get enough.
Dodge Saucer, and where'd you say he went?
Iowa State.
Nice. Another O lineman. That's where teams are built, up front. Love it. Okay, Bill, you have the 10th pick.
All right. So my 10th pick, I'm going to just keep rolling with the DBs. We're going to win those on the outsides. I'm going with New Zealand Williams out of San Diego State.
New Zealand Williams.
New Zealand is his middle name and New is his first name, but there's a lot of fun with both of those.
Okay.
There's a Naked Gun whole thing in there with that one, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
We planned it a little better. Even
oh, yeah. That, but... Especially if he was a boxer.
Austrian assassin.
With fun kid in Minneapolis.
Whose father was from Detroit. All right, very good. Greg, you got the 11th pick coming up.
All right, well, I can't resist the defensive backs either. This guy also kind of has a name that sounds like he might star in some certain types of films. Well, I'm going to get with Buck Coors.
Nice.
Defensive back from Wyoming.
Buck sounds like just a bad beer from Coors.
I mean, that's another NIL. I know you're not supposed to endorse alcohol, but that's another great NIL deal waiting to happen right there.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean,
Stroud just endorsed a movie. Oh, really? The same thing. I was like, I don't know if they're like allowed to do this.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, like all, and especially I think Coors is in what, Golden, Colorado? I mean,
yeah.
Laramie, Wyoming, a short drive from Denver and in that area. So Buck Coors, you might want to look into something right there. All right, I am going with the 12th pick here. Oh, man, so many good ones. But I like this guy. Another interesting name to start off with. But I'm going to go with Storm Duck, another defensive back from the North Carolina Tar Heels. Storm Duck. I feel like he should play for Oregon. Be an easy fit there. All right, so to wrap up round two, we got Dodge Saucer, New Zealand Williams, Buck Coors, and Storm Duck. We're all over the place. I love it. We are going to start our fourth round here with Mr. Franklin, number 13 overall.
There's one I want to take, but I got to get General Booty, a wide receiver. So we're going to go a little Fat Watts.
Nice.
Wide receiver from Tulane.
And by the way, Lil' Kim would be proud. It's PH.
Yeah.
Fat Watts. What a name. What a name.
General Booty to Fat Watts. I like
that's a good, that's a solid connection there. And you got your big guys up front to block for it. All right, Greg, Bill, you are up for pick 14.
So, keep rolling with these DVs. So kind of a sleeper, but a hallmark name for some. I'm going to go with Kobe Bryant out of Cincinnati.
Ooh.
Can't lose with a guy like that on your team. He has a great work ethic, and his name just will carry it. So.
Okay. And you got teammates now, too, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we got the chemistry going. This guy's ready.
Mamba mentality.
Is it spelled the same way, Kobe?
It's with a C and a Y.
Okay. Does he happen to wear either number 8 or 24? I mean, you like if somebody wears 24 and he wanted it, you like gotta give him.
And he was.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I do remember hearing that name, but yeah, I guess I never put that together. All right, Kobe Bryant. Very nice. All right, Greg, you got pick 15 here.
Okay, I'm going to go in the trenches, a guy that really knows how to get after it on that offensive line. I'm going to go with Bear, so it's B-A-E-R, Hunter, Bear Hunter, Appalachian State offensive line.
You know that guy walked right out of the Appalachian Mountains.
Literally, you can't match a name with a school much better than that.
Oh, that's so good. That was actually going to be my pick right there. But since you took him, I'm gonna go with a running back. I feel like I need to, you know, ground and pound a little bit here. And you can't ground and pound without a tank. I'm gonna go with Tank Bigsby, running back, Auburn. So
Clayton Bigsby's son.
God help us now. Chappelle reference for anyone maybe didn't quite get that one. I love it. All right, Tank. So let's wrap up round four here. We got Fat Watts, Kobe Bryant, Bear Hunter, and Tank Bigsby. We got this is an all-star draft here. Very good. So we're going to start our final round. And any ones we don't get to, you guys can throw them out as honorable mentions. But we're going to make 20 picks here. And, you know, so we're going to go back to you, Brett, for pick 17.
Oh, we're going to go with one from the linebacker spot who just pushes people around, can take the hits. We're going with Bumper Poole.
Nice.
Linebacker from Arkansas.
Also was going to be my next pick. Love that one. Bumper Poole. That sounds like something you would do as a kid, you know, like if you weren't very good at pool, you know? Like helps you like hit the ball in the pocket. Very nice. Bumper Poole. And where'd you say he was from?
Arkansas.
Okay. All right. Bill, you got pick 18 here.
All right. We're gonna roll the linebacker. We're gonna go with Chief Borders.
Nice. Florida.
Yeah. He really secures the middle of the field. He's a lockdown guy. So
it's like
he's a headhunter.
He puts up a wall, if you will.
He builds a wall up in the secondary, and that's all he really needs.
When they recruited him, that was the statement. You will build a wall around.
Build a wall.
Chief Borders, Florida.
Got to keep those offensive guys out, you know.
All right, nice pick. Chief Borders, let's go to Greg. You got pick number 19.
And there's so many good names out there. I'm going to go a little bit off the board to a name we all know well. We always try to get a Seinfeld reference in these shows. So I'm going to go with George Costanza's name for his unborn child. Seven Banks, Ohio State. Seven with a Y.
Nice. Seven Banks. Got another DB off the board. I feel like the defensive backs might... I'll have to look at it. They might have the most names on this list.
I took four of them.
He took four of them. I still have like six on my board that haven't been taken yet.
But Bill, no one's throwing on Bill's team here.
No.
So. All right, Seven Banks, second to last pick here, which puts me up for the final pick. Oh man, so many to go to, but. To wrap up this draft, I thought you were going this way, Greg, with this pick when you said George Costanza. But I'm going to get some special teams action here. I'm going to actually bring in a punter. Usually, you know, in a draft, your punter's your last pick. So I'm going to go with George Georgopoulos, punter, UMass. I'm guessing he's Greek, probably.
Maybe.
There's a better than
maybe, just me.
An off chance he might not be, but
you know. All right. Point, that kid had a fake ID and rolled up to a bouncer. Like, right. Oh, George Hopkins, I'm sure.
Yeah, why don't you go hang out with McLovin over there?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. I still got a bunch of names on my board. So why don't you guys, you know, we'll take a couple minutes here if you want to throw out any honorable mentions that didn't make the list.
Another one I have on my list, another offensive lineman. I feel like it would have been from one of those, I forget what commercials, the Brochacho stuff. Brodarius Ham. He's from Auburn.
Another Auburn guy.
There's a lot of Auburn guys.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys down south. The heat gets to you when you're thinking of naming your kid.
Another Costanza reference, though, too. Seven McGee, ooh, running back from Oregon.
Ooh, okay. Is it spelled like seven?
Spelled like the number seven, yeah.
Okay. All right, very good. Greg, you got any?
You went with the Ham reference. I'm going to go with the Fish reference. Fish McWilliams, defensive lineman for UAB, another Southern school.
So we got our Kool-Aid you can drink, and we got our proteins in there. Very good. And we got what? Smoke, and
we're locking down borders.
Smoke, and we got the Cavassier. I mean, we got the beverages covered too. So, Bill, you got any honorable mentions?
Yeah, so this guy didn't really make the list, but Dylan Deathrage, Western Michigan.
Oh, Deathrage.
Yeah, I think it's there's an E in there somewhere, but I think it's Stalin. At least I hope it is. I cannot verify that. But
that's awesome.
We'll just say it is.
Deathrage.
He's an O-liner. I think it'd be better if he was like a DN, but whatever.
I don't know. He seems like the guy you would see at a heavy metal concert. Or the band.
Yeah, true.
A few here. This guy's name I like because you know how sometimes you have to go last name first, last name comma first. So if this guy like ever became a like a realtor or something, he would not have the great name for it because his name is Seller Shy, which means shy sellers. So I don't think he's going to be a stock broker or stock trader or a realtor in his future, but wide receiver Ole Miss, we'll see what he's got going on for him in the future. How about Aju from Clemson? That's another good one.
I think it's a Joe.
Is it a Joe?
Yeah, I think I saw it as a Joe. Yeah, okay. I was curious, just so we know, but I like the phonetic.
Just so we know, I know. That guy
back there didn't take him. Mispronounce it, so I was like, I'm just gonna avoid it.
But when I looked it up, it actually wrote down like how to pronounce his name.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Well, that guy better, we've been talking about NIL, he better have an NIL deal with like a local coffee company down there in Clemson. So, any other ones you guys just want to throw out?
We got Clowney, Jadavian's evil cousin. Demon Clowney.
Oh, jeez. Clowney? Oh, my God. Dude, you can have the ball.
I got one that sounds like a car that they made for 1 year and it was like defective and they never made it again. Dodge Saucer.
Oh, I took him.
Yeah, I took him.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah, Sauce.
Sauce.
I should have used my joke. Yeah, I had a 1970. Dodge Saucer.
Wow. Used car salesman, seller shy.
John Voight used to own it.
We got a bad Rambo movie. Charleston Rambo.
That's a good one. Any Rambo is good.
Yeah.
That's a great name. For Big, the last one I had here was Big Cat Bryant. Ironically, is a defensive lineman, so well named. That's like the old Seinfeld. Another Seinfeld reference. He's like, you know, if your name's Jeeves, you're just gonna be bound to be a butler. If your name's freaking Big Cat, you're probably gonna be an offensive or defensive lineman. So
we did leave one off that we all four of us have come to grow and love this year. Steel Chambers.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's a good point. You forget about the Buckeye ones because it's like known household.
Master T is another one. So yeah, we just know.
Yeah,
a guy that's not around anymore. I mean, for a linebacker, Tough Borland would have been a good one back last year. So
Except for when he's trying to cover Devontae Smith.
He's trying to do anything.
All right. This was supposed to be funny.
Right. Let's change this around real quick.
You're conjuring up bad memories. This one's good, though. I forgot to review the last round. Bumper Pool, Chief Porter, Seven Banks, and Georgopolis. So this was fun. Anybody out there that is watching that has more that we forgot, write in, tell us, and hopefully, I'm sure we could probably do this like once a year because there's a whole new crop of recruits coming in next year. So for Bill, Greg, Brett, thanks, guys, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right. Hey, guys. Hope you had fun watching that. We'll review the names at the end of the show one more time, but that was our 2021 college football best names this season. So hope you had a little bit of fun with that watching. We thought with award season coming up in college football, Heisman trophies this weekend, that it would be a good time to play that video. So thanks to Bill, Greg, and Brett on that video. Again, appreciate all they do for our show and, everything, all the entertainment we bring. We're going to be bringing you plenty more drafts, especially towards the end of football season and into, the spring. So I'll tell you what, let's start with the Cleveland Browns today. So we're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns defense and then the Baltimore Ravens offense first, and then we'll flip flop. So, starting first, the Browns are fourth in total defense, allowing 316 yards a game. They're giving up about 108 rushing yards a game, which is 11th overall. That number has been going up and up and up the last 3 weeks. They're only giving up 210 yards passing a game, which is 8th in the NFL, which again puts them fourth overall in total defense. Their statistical leaders, Anthony Walker leads the team in tackles with 85. Myles Garrett with 14 sacks right now. He's has a long way to go, but Michael Strahan's record's right around the 22 mark. So if he has a big couple games the rest of the season, he could push to become the NFL's all-time leading sack leader for one single season. Interceptions, John Johnson the third, and Denzel Ward lead the team with 3. And the Browns have forced 14 turnovers, which 4 of them coming in the last game against the Baltimore Ravens. Looking at the Baltimore Ravens offense, they are fourth in the NFL in total yardage, 388 total yards a game. They're actually tied with the Browns exactly in total yardage rushing with about 147.1 yards a game. They are passing at about 241 yards a game, which is 13th in the NFL. Their statistical leaders, obviously Lamar Jackson's going to be way, way high with statistical because he is their pretty much their running game and their passing game. But he is 242 of 378, which is about 64% on the season, 2,865 yards, 16 touchdowns, 13 interceptions on the season. He has been sacked 37 times on the season, which is a lot of hits for a running quarterback, because he's getting hit a lot in the running game, and then he's getting hit a lot in the passing game. But looking at their leading rusher this season, that's Lamar Jackson as well. 762 yards on the ground, 5.8 yards a carry, which, to put that in perspective, Nick Chubb averages 5.8 yards a carry, which is towards the top end in the NFL. And Lamar has 2 touchdowns rushing this season. Devontae Freeman is their main back this year. We all know they've lost a ton of guys to injury, J.K. Dobbins being the main guy. But Devontae Freeman, I think, is their third or fourth guy that they've had in there this year, 376 yards. So their leading rusher from the running back position, 4.2 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. Marquise Brown is their leading receiver, and Mark Andrews is their second leading receiver at tight end. Both of those guys played at Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield. So very interesting stuff there. So, Baker Mayfield's going to be very familiar with these guys. So let's flip the switch and let's go to the Browns' offensive numbers versus the Baltimore Ravens' defensive numbers. Now, for a long, long time, Baltimore was known as the best defense in the entire league, probably for a whole decade. But I'll tell you what, let's start with the Browns and then we'll talk about the Ravens. So the Browns right now coming off a bye. So hopefully last year coming off their bye is when they started to flip the switch and get things going. That was in the middle of the season. This is 2/3 of the way through the season. So the Browns have a lot of ground to make up, but they are right now 17th in the league in offense, 354 yards a game. They're, like I said, tied for third with the Baltimore Ravens at 147 yards a game, passing for only 207 yards a game, which is 24th in the NFL. Baker is passing for about 62% completion, which is too low. He needs to get that up to about 65, 66, about 2,400 yards in the season, 11 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. In his 11 games, he did sit out one game this season. David Njoku is their leading receiver, 27 catches for 407 yards, 3 touchdowns. Unfortunately, he will not be playing on Sunday because of he has come down with COVID. He will be out on Sunday, unfortunately, for the Browns, as well as their third tight end, Harrison Bryant. So they're going to be reliant very heavily on Austin Hooper and some of Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, a lot of these other guys. Johnny Stanton might even get some substantial playing time. You might work the fullbacks in there in offense. I'm not exactly sure, but Kevin Stefanski and crew will figure it out. Nick Chubb is their leading rusher this season, 867 yards rushing, which, again, same as Lamar Jackson, 5.8 yards a carry. He has 6 touchdowns on the year. And remember, he missed a handful of games as well. Kareem Hunt is their next leading rusher, 381 yards a game, which is about 5 yards a carry and 5 touchdowns. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Ravens' defense here. They are not as formidable as in the past. Now, they are great at stopping the run. They are number one or tied for first stopping the run this season at 84.3 yards a game, and they really held Chubb and Hunt in check the last game. But I think the Browns are going to be able to rush on them a little bit more this game. So we will see. However, where they are really great against the run, they are terrible against the pass. They're allowing 272 yards passing per game, which is 31st, excuse me, which is second worst in the NFL. They're leading, players on the defensive side of the ball. Patrick Queen, 68 tackles. They have two guys, Tyvus Bowser, who had a really nice game against the Browns last time, 5.5 sacks, and OA, the rookie out of Penn State, with 5 sacks. They have 26 sacks on the season. Anthony Averett is their leading interception return guy with 2, and they have only forced 10 turnovers this season, which for a Baltimore Ravens defense, that's not what you're used to out of them. So, the Ravens, as I said, they're great against the run, very weak against the pass. So that tells me, hey, Baker, Baker's on call this game. You know, you're going to need all your weapons. You're going to need Hunt. You're going to need Chubb. You're going to need Jarvis Landry. You're going to need Rashard Higgins, which who knows where he's been lately. You're going to need Donovan Peoples-Jones. You're going to need all these guys to step up. Demetric Felton, hopefully Anthony Schwartz is back. Austin Hooper, earn your money. You know, these guys have to step up and start playing because the Browns have no room for error. You cannot lose this game. You have 5 games left. You win this game and you win the following week against the Raiders. And then you can go into Green Bay and feel good about yourself at 8-6. But if you lose this game and go to 6-7, your season is not mathematically over, but for the most part, your playoff chances are pretty much gone. So let me go to my keys to victory and what I think the Browns need to do to win this game. So number one, I think in this game, they need to rush for 120 yards or more in this game. So to get that victory, I think you really, you're going against the number one rush defense in the NFL. However, I think you can still open it up and you have a great offensive line. You have the best tandem of running backs in the backfield. You need to, do what you got to do. Now, New England, if you remember earlier from Monday Night Football this week, rushed the ball 46 times. They threw the ball 3 times, which, again, that was against the stacked box. That was against a Bills team that knew they were not going to pass because they're playing in 50-mile-per-hour winds. If New England can do it, we can do it. So Stefanski is very heavily reliant on the run. He is very heavily reliant on the 13 personnel, which, again, is 1 wide receiver, 3 tight ends. He's not going to be able to do 13 personnel very often this game unless you're playing guys out of position. So I think you're going to see a lot of different formations. You might see Hunt. You might see Chubb in the backfield together. You could see, just some different things. So I think coming out of the bye week, they're going to have to open up the playbook, get a little bit creative, and, they got to make something happen. They got to play with their backs against the wall because, if you lose this game, you're pretty much done. So, second key to victory, Baker Mayfield, you have to do something. You got to make some plays. No one's asking him to go out and win the game, but he's got to go out there and make a couple big plays. Now, when I say a couple big plays, it doesn't mean he's got to go out and throw for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. What I'm asking is, complete that 3rd and 4, to move the chains, to get in field goal range, or to, get down and, run the clock a little bit more, keep the defense off the field, or, keep the ball out of Lamar Jackson's hands. Whatever it might be, Baker Mayfield has to step up, make a few plays, maybe throw a few touchdowns, just not make the big mistake. You don't need to make the huge play, but you got to convert. You have to move the chains, and you got to give your defense a chance. So the defense put them in great positions last game, and the Browns did nothing with it. So hopefully, I looked at the weather. It looks like it's going to be like 45 degrees and sunny in Cleveland. There's no excuse on Sunday with the weather. There's no excuse with, personnel. Njoku might be out. Hey, next guy up, next man up. You got to do what you got to do. So that's the second key to victory. My third key to victory, you got to win the turnover battle. And they did that last game. And that might be the first game in NFL history where a team, picked the opposing quarterback off 4 times and lost the game. So I'll have to look more into that, but they have to win the turnover margin to win this game, or at least be even. Key number 4, have a 4 or more point lead in the 4th quarter, because the Baltimore Ravens have the number 1 best kicker in the NFL, maybe in the last 20 years. Justin Tucker is just a true weapon. He hit a NFL record 66-yard field goal to beat the Detroit Lions earlier in this season. He's made a bunch of big kicks, and he is a true weapon for the Ravens. And the Browns have had Chase McLaughlin be fairly reliable up until these last few weeks, but Justin Tucker is a weapon, so you have to make Baltimore go out there and score a touchdown and not a field goal. So that is my 4th key. And then finally, don't let Lamar get loose. Don't let Lamar get loose and get going with, just running the ball, going wild. He's been struggling of late. Make him keep struggling. Make him take a sack. Make him throw, be a pocket passer. Do not keep letting him just beat you up in the run game and beat you up physically in the passing game. Those are my keys to victory. I'm not going to give a prediction. I will say, in our pick 'em sheet, the Browns are a 2.5-point favorite. I did take the Browns, so hopefully the Browns get this done, can pull it off, and we will check in with you on that going into the weekend. We're going to switch now. This is really cool news, not just for sports fans, not just for baseball, basketball, whatever. This is great for all of Ohio. Now, I don't know the exact way the money is going to be broken out, but yesterday, the Ohio sports betting bill passes in the House. So welcome to the 21st century, Ohio. It passed 72-12. So not long after the Senate passed the identical bill. This is from Ryan Butler, by the way, on Twitter. But legislation now goes to Governor Mike DeWine, who is expected to sign it shortly. The bill includes online retail betting at casinos, stadiums, and bars, and the betting is set to begin sometime in 2022. This will bring a ton of money to the state, you know, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Michigan. A lot of our bordering states have legal, I think Indiana, a lot of, you know, they have online betting, they have casino betting, whereas Ohio doesn't. So a lot of that money is leaving the state. I think this could be good. Now, again, I don't want to get into politics because I don't know all the details, but, you know, I'm sure there'll be some, you know, who gets this money, where does it go, different legislation with that. But that is pretty big news, I think, going forward for the state of Ohio and, you know, your favorite degenerate gambler out there. So bet responsibly, and until they become a sponsor, I can say degenerate gambler. So switching gears, I do want to talk, before we talk about the Cavs, I want to talk about Stephen Curry. Steph Curry is now going to become the greatest three-point shooter in NBA history. And Steph Curry is from right here in the 330. Well, at least he was born here in Akron. Him and LeBron James were born in the same hospital, which is kind of cool to think about. But his father, Del Curry, played for the Cavs, you know, back in the 80s. Steph Curry, born in Akron, again, same hospital as LeBron. He is only 10 three-pointers away from breaking Ray Allen's all-time record in NBA history. To put that in perspective, Ray Allen has 2,973 three-pointers in his career. That's in 1,300 games. Reggie Miller has 2,560 three-pointers in 1,389 games. Steph Curry is right in between them both, only a few away from Ray Allen, 2,964 three-pointers in 786 games. So nearly, what is that? Nearly 514 fewer games. Steph Curry is right behind the NBA's all-time leader in three-point field goals. Now, he has an active streak of 149 consecutive games with a three-point basket. The record is 157 games with a three-pointer, which, by the way, he holds that record too. So pretty amazing. He's a three-time All-Star three-point champion. He's an NBA top 75 player. So the NBA has been around for 75 years. He is a top 75 player. I'd argue he's probably a top 7 to 8 player of all time, because he has changed the way the game is played. He has stretched the floor. You have to guard him literally as soon as you cross the half court, because he can literally shoot the ball from anywhere. The court is 96 feet. And he can literally pull up from 45 feet and hit a three. And if you see some of his workouts and shooting performances before the game, he'll shoot the ball, 50, 60 feet in the stands and hit threes warming up. But he his record is 13 three-point field goals in a game. He will play this weekend, so he has a chance to break that record. And like I said earlier, he has literally changed the way the game is played. He, you know, when you see these guys on TV, you don't appreciate their size, their strength, and their gifts. Now, I'm 6'2". Steph Curry is the same height as me, but, you know, watching him on TV, he just seems like a little guy, and he's not. But, you know, it's kind of cool. As a former elementary teacher, you know, I obviously, I'm wearing the Cavs gear. I was a big Cavs fan. I still am a huge Cavs fan. And I couldn't stand Steph Curry because that was the Cavs' biggest rival, you know, from 14 to 18. And they got 1 out of 4 in the finals against them. But Steph Curry, you know, destroyed what could have been a good Cavs dynasty and LeBron dynasty in Cleveland. But Steph Curry, you got to give him all the credit in the world. He has become the NBA's best shooter of all time. And, you know, I'll have a top 5 list for you, maybe even a top 10 list for you on Tuesday's show regarding the best shooters in NBA history. So an early congratulations to Steph Curry, because he's going to break that record probably this weekend. Another note, just real quick, check in with the Cleveland Cavs. They played last night. They played the second place Chicago Bulls and just beat them up 115-92. The Cavs have won 5 of 7. They're 14-12. They're sitting in the seventh spot in the Eastern Conference. And they're kind of bunched up there. So they could easily get to the, you know, second, third seed in the East. But they have taken a dramatic rise. They were one of the worst teams in the NBA last year. They have 3 pieces to the puzzle. Jared Allen, 23 years old. They have Darius Garland, 21 years old. And they have Evan Mobley, 20 years old. They have 3 keystone pieces of a franchise going forward, all below 23 years old, and they're going to do some damage going forward. And I think people are finally starting to take notice. Hey, the Cavs are here to stay. Another note. Now this is going to switch. You're going to see this graphic in a minute. You're going to be like, what the hell is he talking about? But we're going to talk about Cornell University for a minute, and I'm going to explain why. So the first graphic I want to show you is some of Cornell's famous alumni. So we got to start off with Cornell's RGB. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the number one. Anthony Fauci, obviously everybody knows Anthony Fauci now after the coronavirus. Christopher Reeve, who played Superman. Bill Maher has a show on HBO. Kurt Vonnegut, famous writer. Keith Olbermann, you know, he was on SportsCenter, was on NBC, has done a lot of news shows. You know, freaking Bill Nye, the science guy, is a Cornell grad, and Sarah Spain from ESPN. Those are just a few. There's a few more. We have ones that are like more important to us from our heart. We have former guest of the show, Marissa Sergi. From Red Blends. She is a Cornell grad, an Ivy League grad, and you know, just talking to her, you can tell how intelligent she is. We have J.C. Tretter, the center of the Cleveland Browns, one of the handful of Ivy League players in the NFL. He's also president of the Players Union. You got Andy Bernard. You know, he might be a fictional grad of Cornell, but he's still a Cornell grad. And then the guy we're going to talk about next, and that's why we led into this, is Jim Knowles. And Jim Knowles is the new Ohio State defensive coordinator. He is probably the biggest assistant hire in Ohio State over the last, maybe the second biggest in the last 20 years, behind Ryan Day, who Urban Meyer brought him in as the offensive coordinator. Now Ryan Day is bringing in Jim Knowles as the defensive coordinator of the Buckeyes. Let's get to know Jim Knowles a little bit here. So he's a former Cornell head coach and graduate. He was a former Duke defensive coordinator, former Oklahoma State defensive coordinator. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Former defensive coordinator at Western Michigan. He was also at Ole Miss. Some of his players and coaches describe him as a mad scientist, some sort of cartoon character by his players who absolutely love him. And just some weird facts about him. He's a vegan. He smokes victory cigars. He worked on Wall Street before his coaching career, and he doesn't put his shoes on all the way. So that's just some interesting random facts about Jim Knowles. But hopefully looking forward to him smoking a lot of victory cigars in Columbus or in Big Ten stadiums, in Indianapolis, after national championship games, after bowl games. He's going to start for the Buckeyes January 2nd. Interesting note, he is the DC at Oklahoma State. He has taken them in 4 years from the 102nd to like in the 80s to in the 20s. And this past year, they were the third ranked defense overall in all of college football in a very offensive heavy league. So he has shown improvement with his defense each and every year at each and every stop he's been at. So this was a great hire, a guy from the outside with a proven track record that is going to, make the Buckeyes a legitimate defensive juggernaut again in the future. So looking very much forward to Jim Knowles and some of his quirkiness, but also some of his great coaching talent and see what he can bring to the table. So one other college note, we have our poll. If you go to the 330 Sports Show, either our Facebook or our Twitter page. We have the best traditions draft, or not drafts, but best traditions in college football bracket going on right now. So right now we're down to the Elite Eight. It's the Iowa Hawkeye Wave, which is a really great tradition. If you don't know about it, go look it up, versus the Colorado Ralphie's Run. We have the Virginia Tech Enter Sandman versus Auburn's War Eagle. We got Wisconsin's Jump Around versus Notre Dame's Play Like a Champion today. You got Army-Navy, the March In, which is coming up this weekend. If you don't know what it is, if you haven't seen it, it's unbelievable. It's amazing. It's great. Check it out. And then we have Penn State's Whiteout, which is an awesome, awesome tradition in all of college football. So those are all great things to check out. The voting is open. We're going to finalize it over the weekend, and we'll release the results on next Tuesday's show. So that's something really to look forward to. And then finally, two more things on our plate here. Our Heisman finalists coming up this weekend. The Heisman Trophy will be presented. I'm going to tell you, to save you a little bit of time, on Saturday night, Bryce Young will win the Heisman Trophy from Alabama. But again, this is great recognition for each of these schools' programs. You know, Aiden Hutchinson will be there at defensive end for Michigan. He has really made their defense, you know, a nice game changer this year, and he's really stepped up as a player. He's going to be a top five draft pick in the NFL next year. CJ Stroud, the quarterback from Ohio State, obviously will be there. He's put up great numbers. He's a red shirt freshman, don't forget that, and I think that's really going to boost his Heisman candidacy going into next season. Also, you got Kenny Pickett, the quarterback of Pittsburgh. He is in there for a reason. I think he is doing what I think is elevating that program, because he is, if I'm not mistaken, he's a fifth or sixth year senior. He's 23 years old, so he's a little bit older, but he has risen his draft stock. He will be a first round, or at worst, a second round draft pick in the NFL next year. But he has elevated that Pitt program to get to a New Year's Six bowl game, win the ACC, and do some nice things there for the University of Pittsburgh. So good luck to all those guys, but we all know Bryce Young's going to win it. If I have to pick, I'm going to say Bryce Young's going to be one, Aiden Hutchinson. I'm going to say it's basically in the order of the pictures. Bryce Young one, Aiden Hutchinson two, CJ Stroud three, and Kenny Pickett four. But I don't get a vote, so, but I'm just going to guess that is what it's going to be. And then finally, just a real quick review of our college football names draft, if you tuned in late. So I'm just going to read these names really quick. It's so good. By the way, none of these are fictional names. These are all legit players in college football this season. So I'm not going to go one to 20. Well, I am going to go 1 to 20, but I'm not going to say the numbers. General Booty, quarterback, Tyler Junior College. Smoke Monday, defensive back, Auburn. Kavassier Smoke, running back, Kentucky. Parker Titsworth, offensive lineman, Ohio University. Shitta Silla, defensive lineman, Boston College. Sauce Gardner, defensive back, Cincinnati. Connor Ass Alley, kicker, Iowa State. DeQuincy Kool-Aid McKinstry, defensive back, Alabama. Dodge Saucer, offensive lineman, Iowa State. New Zealand Williams, safety from San Diego State. Buck Coors, defensive back, Wyoming. Storm Duck, defensive back, North Carolina. Fat Watts, wide receiver, Tulane. Kobe Bryant, not the basketball player, the defensive back from Cincinnati. Bear Hunter, offensive lineman, Appalachian State. Tank Bigsby, running back, Auburn. Bumper Poole, linebacker, Arkansas. Chief Borders, defensive back from Florida. Seven Banks, defensive back from Ohio State. And George Georgopoulos, punter, from UMass. So if you missed any of that, at the beginning of our show, we played that draft. We also put in a lot of random miscellaneous funny names in there too, but those are all legit college football players in the 2021-2022 football season. And I think that's something we'll probably revisit every December, because you know, there's some great names coming in every single year. So with that said, we're going to close out here. Good luck to the Cleveland Browns this weekend as they take on the Baltimore Ravens. Must win. You got to get it done, guys. And we will see you guys next week. Everybody have a great day and great weekend. We will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.